Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Friday, February 28th, 2020. There has been some recent developments in the COVID coronavirus that Dr. Nyman would like to go over. Dr. Nyman?
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I wanted to do a quick update really on the sequence information in a paper regarding the sequences. And the CDC just did one of its brief telebriefings. The telebriefing, you know, unfortunately, wasn't as close to science as it normally is. It seems to be getting more into putting out presidential talking points, and they tried to claim that the number of cases in the U.S. were low because of the policies at limiting access through U.S. borders. There's zero data to support that. They mentioned Trump's name. It sounded like, you know, the Politburo or something. Anyway, it was a sad day for the CDC today. It's basically been commandeered by the commander-in-chief to become another of his many propaganda arms. But that aside, there really was no news. They were going to distribute the kits. They were going to allow physicians to do more testing. They didn't really address the fact that almost every European country going out to Belarus now, Belarus can pick up cases as well as Estonia and Nigeria and Algeria and Brazil. But the U.S., you know, has no new cases because of our border security. Like, we don't let Italians in or something to that effect. But anyway, forget about the propaganda, get a little bit more into the science. On the science front, there have actually been two developments. One actually is a plus for the CDC. The case up in Northern California that appears to be community transmission, although they didn't do that well at actually getting the patient tested promptly, although they said that they agreed to do the testing on the day that it was called in. The bottom line is they did get the entire genome sequenced. It was a bronchiolavirus sample, and it is up and available. It's not all that interesting. It's really the basic Wuhan sequence with one polymorphism that doesn't seem to be shared by any of the other sequences. So it was not that informative, but it did put the information out. The patient is a 46-year-old female. She just listed as originating in Solana County. And that's really it. That wasn't that exciting. The one piece of data that isn't quite that new, it's about 2 weeks old, preprint was put up at a website in China to allow for papers to kind of be previewed by the scientific community before they undergo peer review or while they're undergoing peer review. And this paper was entitled Wuhan 2019 Coronavirus S-Protein May Have Furin Protease Cleavage Sites. And most of the listeners would have difficulty explaining exactly what that is. But I thought I'd make an attempt and make an analogy with influenza, which many listeners are more familiar with. And it really is, you know, simply put, that the virus, the human NCoV, novel coronavirus, differs from the most closely related bat sequence, which is 96% identical, in that at the cleavage site, and coronaviruses are just like influenza viruses and most of the RNA viruses, that, well, probably most of the viruses, period, that they have a little bit of genetic information. They're wrapped in a protein shell. They encode some key enzymes that they need, like polymerase, to make copies of their genetic information. And then they kind of rely upon the cell to get, you know, all the mechanics done. And the mechanics involve actually cleaving the surface protein, which would be the hemagglutinin in influenza, or it would be the S protein, the little spikes that kind of stick out and give that crown appearance when they look at the virus under the microscope. And both of those proteins serve the same function. They bind to a receptor on a cell surface, and then they actually fuse with the cell membrane, and they rely upon an enzyme in the cell, a protease. A protease is an enzyme that chops up proteins. It goes and cuts them at defined positions. And for the influenza, as well as the coronavirus, it gets cleaved right next to a basic protein. A basic amino acid. And the and that cleavage is somewhat limited to the cells that have the right protease expressed, so that the protease is there to cleave the, in this case, it would be S protein. And if that protease isn't there, the virus can't get in. So it limits what cells can replicate in. And it typically, in influenza, if it has a normal cleavage site, it keeps the virus kind of in the upper respiratory tract. But in avian influenza, if there's a bunch of basic amino acids at that site, and it's called a polybasic cleavage site, which many of you have heard me use that term over the years, or over the decades, actually. That's what distinguishes high path and low path avian influenza. So if you look at how the virus behaves in chickens, if it's got that polybasic cleavage site, it would be high path, and it's very destructive to the chickens, and it gets an exceedingly high mortality rate, and it killed off the birds very quickly, because when it has a polybasic cleavage site, so it's got a series of basic amino acids, then that allows many different enzymes that are expressed in several different cell types to actually provide this cleavage function, and the virus can get in. So the virus can get into many different cell types. It doesn't stay in the upper respiratory tract. It can go down into the lungs. It can replicate very efficiently there. It can go into various organs and attack them. And because of the ability of the virus to spread and to attack a lot of different cell types, there's a lot of virus and there's a lot of destruction, and it leads to the death of the host. And it can do that even though the rest of the gene, the rest of the genome, and the other proteins really are the same. So the only thing that's really different between the high and the low path is this cleavage site, and whether there's a single basic amino acid or whether there's 3, 4, or 5. And quite remarkably, that is what the coronavirus, the one that's in humans, actually does. And when you compare it to the bat virus, it's 96% identical. And especially if you compare it at the protein level, the sequences in the region of the cleavage site are identical. And the only difference is that this virus actually has 4 amino acids inserted there. And 2 of those 4 amino acids are basic. And that creates a polybasic cleavage site. And that polybasic cleavage is recognized by the furin protease, and that protease can provide that function of cleaving the spike protein, which is a requirement to get in the cell. So it has a sequence that's PRRAR, and the three R's are all basic amino acids, they're arginine. And it cleaves right after the last R, between the R and the S. And so the other BAT sequences, as well as the ones closely related, all have a RS there, and the cleavage goes right between that. But this virus has the ARRP in front of it, so it puts two more basic amino acids and creates a polybasic cleavage site. So some people had a question, what is this furin protease? And that protease is fairly widespread, so that means that the virus can get into several different cell types. It actually may be related to the fact that the virus can be picked up in fecal samples. Normally, flu viruses can't, and the coronaviruses, I believe, usually aren't either in humans anyway. And in this case, it has this polybasic cleavage site, and that may account for the fact that it seems to be able to efficiently transmit among humans, and it may indicate that this is not going to be a virus that miraculously disappears, as some might think. But in fact, it may hang around for quite some time and may turn into be a seasonal event where it declines over summer and then comes back each fall, much like flu does. And that is a major concern. It's too early to say for sure whether that is going to happen, but the virus is basically spreading quite dramatically. Europe is becoming overrun by that virus. It's probably doing the same thing in the United States. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a whole lot of testing that's been done. There have been limitations put on by the CDC. They've lifted that. Now they leave it up to the clinician. They think that the patient should be tested, and they've given up on, or they haven't been able to identify another infectious agent that would cause flu-like symptoms, including the flu, then they can go ahead and run that test. Kits are being distributed. Kind of silly, but the kit has three different tests, and one of those tests was giving this equivocal result, and that's the reason the labs couldn't pass their proficiency test. And now the CDC has modified the protocol and said that if they didn't pass the test, just to ignore the one test that's been causing problems and just use the other two. And so the CDC, they're going to be making new kits, and the new kits would only have the two components that seem to work for the labs, and they don't have the third component, which hasn't been working anyway. And so there should be labs showing up, I think, today or next week. I think all of the labs are supposed to have their kits by the end of next week. And therefore, with this restriction off, they can go ahead and test. I believe the positives are still going to be sent to the CDC for confirmation, but they could at least get presumptive positives, kind of like Canada does. And Canada has enough confidence in their presumptive positives that they actually hold press conferences and make announcements. What the CDC is going to do in the United States going forward is, with regard to press conferences, is certainly unclear at best. That was one of the questions, and they said they're going to do their best. And what their best is in the current climate is probably not going to be similar to what the best used to be. CDC did used to be the best. It doesn't sound like they're going to be the best, at least until there's some political changes. But in any event, they are going to do their best. It's not clear when the next teleconference is. These teleconferences are not announced ahead of time. They kind of show up at the last minute. And they're relatively short, and frankly, they're getting to be like presidential conference news conferences used to be, you know, very uninformative and a waste of time. They ended up eventually doing away with them, unfortunately, as long as we have the coronavirus increasing and not miraculously disappearing, the longer the press conferences will continue to be talking points for the current president. So that's it for now. We'll come back with some real science again in the not too distant future. The virus is exploding in Europe, and it is certainly spreading in the United States, and hopefully the doctors will actually start testing, and we'll have a much better sense as to how bad it is here when we get some test results and not political rhetoric. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Nyman, for the information. Listeners, please always follow us on recombinomics.co. For the latest information, we're always constantly trying to keep up with the latest news, but it always seems to come faster than it can be because this is such a rapidly evolving situation. So despite what you may hear, please keep it tuned and please be prepared for the eventuality of what's to come. All right, everyone, thank you for listening.